Hey guys, welcome back to Real Fiends. This is Dave, and in this segment, I'm going to be covering The Shape of Water by Guillermo del Toro. The Shape of Water got 92% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is a fantastic score. Metacritic's pretty harsh. They gave it an 87, which is awesome. And IMDb gave it a 7.5 out of 10. It's a rated R movie. It's considered a drama thriller, but there are a lot of aspects in the movie, and I'll get into that a little bit later on. The movie stars Sally Hawkins, Doug Jones as Fishman. That's not really his credit. It's not Fishman. It's Amphibian Man. Doug Jones is he's a creature actor, and he's been in Guillermo del Toro's previous movies. He's very good at moving his body and doing the whole creature thing. Michael Shannon is in this, and he is like fucking phenomenal. Michael Shannon's so damn underrated, but I'm gonna get to that a little later. Michael Stuhlbarg is in it. Stuhlbarg. I'm probably butchering the guy's name, but he's been in other movies. He's pretty good. We also have Richard Jenkins is in the movie. That's an old school OG actor right there. He's been in a lot of different flicks, usually like a smaller role, but he's a pretty good actor for what he does. The screenplay was by Guillermo del Toro, and it was directed by him, and I love when that happens. The best damn movies are usually written and directed by. It's just like you get the pure vision. It's not watered down. There's not too many hands in the pot. The movies usually come out phenomenal when it's written and directed by. But that's just my opinion. It had a budget of $19.5 million, and it made $193.9 million at the box office. And let me tell you, they made that $19 million stretch out far. Like specifically in the effects for the Amphibian Man. And again, I'll get into that in a little bit. So at the 90th Academy Awards, The Shape of Water did really well. It freaking racked up. It got 13 nominations, the most this year. And it won four categories: Best Production Design, Best Original Score, Best Director, and Best Picture. Best Picture, huge. And Sally Hawkins, the lead actress, she got nominated for Best Actress. That's a pretty big deal, and that's awesome. I think she did really well. Now, with all that being said, I'm going to just get into the movie. So I'm going to do the first portion of the podcast, non-spoiler, and then I'll give you guys fair warning and just kind of touch on the film. So right off the bat, I enjoyed it. I was very skeptical of the movie at first. I was kind of, you know, putting it off, watching a movie. I was kind of judging a book by its cover. But and then when I realized that Guillermo del Toro did it, I'm like, all right, I like Guillermo del Toro. I like Pan's Labyrinth. I like his style. He has a darker style. He pulls no punches in his movies. Usually they have like a horror aspect to them. And he just has a very, he got a unique style. You cannot mistake del Toro's movies at all. They're very artsy. They got awesome camera work, awesome angles and visuals, and just a very, very unique style again. I like it a lot. So again, I was kind of like skeptical at first. Then, you know, I saw who directed it, gave it a shot, checked it out, and I liked it. I really liked it. It wasn't like a mind-blowing movie where like it changes your life, you know. It wasn't that amazing, but it was really, really well done for what it is. And what the movie is, it's like, you know, I was joking about it. I called it a Fish, Romeo and Juliet before I even seen the movie. And I was kind of right. You know what I mean? I mean, you could tell, you can gather from the trailers without watching a movie that it was going to kind of be like I call it a fish love story. And pretty much it was, but there was a lot more to it. Like it had like some horror elements mixed in. It was a drama, had some like real acting, like serious acting in it. Yeah, it was just a mixture of a movie, and in the del Toro style, the darker, artsy, rated R style. I got to give praise to the special effects for the movie because, you know, the budget was only $19 million and they made that $19 million stretch out. I mean, specifically, I'm just going to call him Fishman. Fishman's effects were fucking cool. Like, he looked pretty damn legit. It was like a throwback to practical and CGI perfectly blended. I think that's the best way to do effects. If you go full CGI, sometimes things come out well depending on the production company and the budget. But, you know, I think it looks best when you mix it up, when you do CGI and practical. Because there's something about well done practical on screen. It just like, it's more realistic. I mean, there's something there for like the actors to interact with. And not only the actors, like when you're watching it, it's like a, something tangible, like on screen. Like CGI, there's always something missing, like something a little hollow about it. But when you use CGI to like complement it, like when you add like blood or, you know, whatever little effects to supplement the practical, it comes out fucking amazing. And way back in the day, they did that with Jurassic Park. And those effects like practically hold up today. Like, I love that damn movie. So yeah, so the effects for Fishman, I mean, they were like legit. Like legit. I'm looking at them and I'm very critical of like effects. And I really like what he did with his costume. Obviously, if you see the trailers, I mean, this is not a spoiler. It looked like a bodysuit, but Doug Jones is so good at contorting his body, you know, to become a creature, a character, and take like a non-human form. He has a way of like moving and contorting his body again. So with Doug Jones's talents and the legit costume, and then with the effects, I mean, Fishman looked great. Standout of the movie, to me, the best actor was Michael Shannon. Michael Shannon fucking rocks. I love that dude. He's so damn underrated. And when he plays a villain, he's fucking phenomenal. Like, he is phenomenal. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves. I really hope that he gets bigger roles, more roles. He's great, man. I mean, he's been in a lot of things now. I guess like his most popular role besides this one is he played General Zod in Man of Steel a few years ago. And I liked him as Zod. But the man can freaking act, man. He has a certain delivery. He comes off as really creepy. He's just great. I can't rave about the guy anymore. I'm a fan of his. I want to see him do bigger things, more stuff. And props to Michael Shannon, because I think he stole the show in this movie. The lead actress, Sally Hawkins, I liked her in this movie. I think she did great. As far as being nominated as best actress, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, she did really good, but you know, there was some scenes where it seemed kind of like a little cringy, a little kind of forced. Like I said, I think Michael Shannon really, really stole the show in the movie, but, Sally Hawkins did good. I honestly can say I've never seen her in anything else, and I can't tell you if she's really mute or not. I mean, it sounds stupid for me to say. If she is mute, even more props to her. If she's not mute, even greater props. Because, you know, for that role, if you're playing a person that's mute, you have to learn sign language, and it's way more of a challenging role. So, yeah, I'm not taking anything away from her at all. She did really, really good, and I look forward to seeing her in other movies. Everybody else did well in their roles in the movie. The supporting cast, don't really have a lot of complaints for the parts that they played. The score was, it was like artsy, you know. I know the score was like nominated and whatnot. It was kind of like, I can't even describe it. It just had like a artsy kind of French feel to it. You know, it's not my type of music, to be honest, but it worked well with the movie. It works well with Del Toro's style, so, you know, it fit. The writing was good. Some parts were a little predictable. You know, I'm not going to get into it right now because we're in the non-spoiler section, but I feel like there were tie-ins a little bit later on like lead ups and tie-ins that I thought were really smart. They are like, ah, okay, that's cool. That's pretty smart writing. But some stuff was predictable. I'm probably going to touch on that a little bit when I start talking about spoilers. So yeah, instead of, you know, going into like a uber epic rant, you know, rambling on, I'm just going to grade it and say, I'm going to give, The Shape of Water, it's a B. It's a solid B for what it is. I enjoyed it. You know, I was, like I said, I was kind of crapping on it at first, but it was an enjoyable movie. It's not for everybody. It is not for everybody. Some people will find it a little too weird and some will find it boring. But if you stick with it and you have an open mind, you're going to enjoy it, especially if you're a Del Toro fan. I'm a Guillermo del Toro fan. One movie that's a guilty pleasure of mine that he did was Pacific Rim. I fucking love Pacific Rim. It's so underrated and fun. Like, people just straight hate on that movie, but because they don't get it. Like, it's not supposed to be taken serious. It's a fun giant robot monster mashup movie, and it kind of has that Del Toro darker feel to it. I heard that the second one sucked, so like, I'm not even gonna go there because it looked like it sucked. It looks like they changed the whole vibe of the movie. It's like way more popcorn and kiddie now, and I'll pass on that, man. I don't know, maybe I'll catch it, you know, out of epic boredom, you know, like, but I'm pretty much going to pass on Pacific Rim 2, and that's really disappointing. But back to The Shape of Water, I give it a B for what it is. And what I own it on Blu-ray, if I saw it for like $5, I would. That doesn't mean that it's a bad movie. It just means that it's like not really my type of movie. But it's worthy enough to own if you get it for the right price. No doubt about that. So yeah, guys, that's my non-spoiler review of The Shape of Water. Right now I'm going to get into the spoiler section in about 5 seconds, so you are warned. Spoiler section coming up right now. So, how about that scandalousness of The Shape of Water? Who didn't see that coming? Fish, Romeo, and Juliet. I just knew looking at the trailer that they were going to get down like that. Scandalous. Fishman hit her with the fish magic stick. The BFC. I'm not even going to break down that acronym. You guys can figure it out. Yeah, like, even though like I saw that coming, is it realistic? I mean, there are some crazy ass people in the world. I mean, there's people who have sex with dogs, you know, sex with horses, and there was some article or something, as lady had a relationship with a dolphin and was trying to have sex with it, or did. So, you know, I mean, there's people that would get with like another species. This is a real thing. But it's like, thinking of the whole encounter from like a normal human level, like where you have all your faculties, like, this is crazy. Like, I'm like looking at the movie, I'm like, what, this lady is so hard up that she's gonna get piped down by a fish man. Wow. Then I was thinking like how dangerous it was, because like in the movie he like bites a damn cat's head off. You know, what if he gets too crazy, like while they're getting down, and he just like scratches her up or just loses it, like, you know, bites, God knows what. He's a wild fish guy. But maybe she's into the rough, like, underwater stuff. I don't know. Whatever it is, I mean, she went to work smiling the next day, so obviously she liked what he was doing. You know, he had he had motion in the ocean. You know, whatever floats her boat. Drum rolls. Yeah, that shit was, like, kind of weird. It was funny, though. Anyway, moving on from the fish Jerry Springer action, how about Michael Shannon? Michael Shannon was ridiculous in that movie. He was such a creepy, menacing bad guy. I love Michael Shannon. He was great. And then like his rotting fingers when he snapped them off, that whole scene when he like pinned, you know, the other maid, the other cleaner against the wall. Ridiculous. I mean, that was classic scene right there. Super, super creepy. He just stole the show. What I liked about the movie also was that it pulled no punches, man. Like, it was rated R for a reason. I mean, they definitely had some scenes that were like really screwed up. Like I mentioned, the cat being gobbled up, like its head being bitten off. What else? Some of the killings were pretty brutal. There was torture. And rated R, man. I mean, I'm a rated R guy. Usually I stay away from PG-13. Sometimes PG-13 works. You know, it depends on the movie, but PG-13 is just watered down to me. So I usually try to stick with like rated R. That's my favorite. You know, if I had to pick one, PG-13 or rated R, I'm definitely going to gravitate towards rated R. That's just me though. Some parts of the movie, you know, they were predictable. It was kind of a run-of-the-mill kind of story. You know, we've seen it before, like some kind of unique creature captured, you know, going to be used for study. We've seen it like in Alien films, and they work to try to release it. Okay, can E.T., hello, E.T.? I mean, they basically took the plot of E.T. and just added a chick that, you know, got busy with a fish man. You know, very similar plot. So we've seen it before. You knew what was going to happen. She was going to take care of him until the timing was right to release him. Yada, yada. Pretty run of the mill. So very predictable that he was going to start getting sicker and sicker, being out of his environment. You know, we've seen all this before. I did not see the whole healing factor thing coming. That was kind of cool. But yeah, the writing was good overall, minus a few little predictable things. I don't really have like huge complaints on it. I mean, that happens, you know. A lot of themes are regurgitated and recycled. Overall, it was a good movie. The very ending was a little bit weird, you know, because they kind of like all of a sudden they gave him like all these powers. Like, it was kind of convenient, you know. So like, he turns her into a fish girl, you know, gives her gills. And I guess it was a cool ending because it ended like happy, you know, like it was, I rather, for the characters, I was happy that their like story arc, like it ended well. Obviously they stood together and just, you know, swam away in the ocean and lived their merry underwater lives, getting freaky deaky under the water. So it was a cool ending. But it was very convenient, like he just started getting all these healing powers and all this stuff. But yeah, guys, I don't really know what else to say about it. Good movie. Like I said, I would own it on the cheap. So that's it. Feel free to comment about the movie yourself on the social media pages if you have an opinion or you agree or disagree with my opinions. Cool. I would love to read them. So if you guys enjoyed the episode and the podcast and you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Really appreciate that. We're on iTunes and any podcast directory. Also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that jazz. We also have an email, realfiends@gmail.com. So until next time, guys, take care and thanks for listening.